again, apologize for the delay. We were promised that there would be a phone jack in this room, which there isn't. But we have, with the help of the hotel staff, we have now been able to conference Michelle in. One of the things that we do at the beginning of each of our meetings is to let people know that when we are in session, we do have a time in the agenda for public comment. We also, depending on the situation and how a discussion is going and the time and all of that kind of thing, we can take public comment anytime during the meeting. So I want to let you know that. And if someone for any reason needs to leave before we're through and there is a comment that you wanted to make and time on the agenda hasn't come for it or that kind of thing, please let me know. I'm Barbara Walker, the chairman of the board. Let me know so that we can be sure that that gets heard. We don't want anybody to come and have something to say and then feel like they didn't get the opportunity because of something as flexible as our agenda can be. So our objective is to be responsive to consumers, to staff, to whoever takes the time and effort to come and be with us. So that's what our objective is, and so if there is something that you need to you need to leave ahead of time or something and you want to say something, please get my attention and let me know. The first thing that we do is to introduce ourselves and then ask anyone else who is present to introduce yourself. We like to know who we're talking to and have an opportunity for us to interact. I also want to mention that there are tapes made of the meetings so that if you need to or want to either review things, or if you aren't at a meeting and you want to know exactly what went on, you can call the commission and get the tapes and listen to them. So without any further comment, I will again introduce myself. I'm Barbara Walker. I'm chairman of the board. I am from Lincoln. And I think we'll start with you, Dorothy, and then go to your left and the commissioner introduce himself.
Okay, I'm Dorothy Weston Yankee, and I'm from South Pacific, Nebraska. And I get to tell all you say people I'm embarrassed about the dress I'm wearing. It really got wrinkled in my suitcase, and I had to lie. So I don't want anybody to think it was my person. I don't know. But I never gave it a thought when I packed it. Wrinkled. So.
My name's Bob Burns. I'm from Omaha.
Okay. Bill Arrest from Lincoln. I'm the ACP representative on the commission. I forgot my razor, so don't feel bad, Dorothy. I'm terrible too.
Sheila Gavrick, staff assistant out of the Kearney office.
Pearl Van Zandt, executive director of the board. Michelle.
Carol Herrera, God bless, the reason for all the trouble this morning.
You're not the reason for
no,
the trouble.
No, you're not.
And I don't know if you folks can hear Nichelle at all. But and also, Nichelle, at any point, I've been on enough where I'm on the phone meetings, and if someone is talking and you really can't hear it, please do break in and let us know you're not hearing.
I'm having a really hard time with Dorothy.
I'm not surprised. So we'll do our best to project to Scott's Bluff.
Okay.
Candy Larson, I'm from North Platte.
Lynn Miller, North Platte. George Linford, Southern.
Excuse me, I couldn't hear you. The last person?
George Linford, Southern.
Okay, thank you.
I'm a designated driver for the employee.
Oh, Pauline Chandler from North Platte.
Jill LaRue from Hershey, Nebraska here.
Yeah, Chris Yockey, Dorothy's husband.
Oh, I'm Wilma Buckley from North Platte.
Excuse me, I must be having a hearing problem this morning, but I didn't hear you either.
Lori Shepherd from North Platte.
Oh, yeah, I know who you are.
Carolyn Ross from North Platte.
Taylor Jones from North Platte.
Phil Needs from Lincoln.
And this is Pearl again. We have the air going, and it is noisy. My fear is if we turn it off, it's going to be very hot very quickly.
Yeah.
So, do you think, Barbara, we should leave it on, or?
I'm probably the wrong person to ask, because I tend to get, well, to get too cool more than I get too hot. One of the things, what do you think? I mean, it is kind of stuffy in here, and I think it might get even stuffier. I think we'll just need to speak up, and if we have too much trouble, then we'll reconsider. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay.
Does it make any difference to move the phone more centrally?
It's as far as it can be.
Oh, it's on its maximum
length. Yeah,
okay.
We're connected to a different room.
Okay, well, we are thrilled to have all of you here. One of the things that is very important is that everybody get an opportunity to interact and to be a part of the commission proceedings. And we're always really glad to have consumers come and join us, and drivers too, of course. So welcome, everybody. Okay, we need to consider minutes from previous meetings, and I made a mistake. We did not actually officially approve the minutes from the March 23rd meeting. So we have minutes from March 23rd, from May 6th, and from June 10th. So first I would ask for consideration of the March 23rd minutes. Does anybody have any additions or corrections to those?
Motion to be accepted. Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that they be accepted. Is there discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we're ready for the minutes of the May 6th meeting. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved.
Correct. Okay. And moved.
Seconded.
And seconded. Is there discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and then we have the minutes of the June 10th meeting. Is there a motion to accept?
So moved. Second.
Okay, and discussion? Now, I do have some discussion on those. It seemed to me that we ought to have in there that we did make a decision to create a questionnaire to go along with the evaluation when we send it out to your staff, so that we would get more clarification. And we also discussed and made a decision that we try to arrange a meeting time with staff to get to know one another better, interact, and that kind of thing. Those two decisions were not noted in the minutes. And I think we ought to correct them to include those two things. Does anybody have discussion about that or opinion?
Yeah, I mean, that, or we can just make it part of today's meeting, either way.
Well, we put it on today's, in today's meeting because we talked about it at that meeting, and so that seems to me like that will be the impetus for those items happening.
Yeah, I don't think we have to discuss it more today, just the amendment. That amendment.
Okay, so does anybody, do we want to approve the minutes as corrected then?
Remember here, please project and try to talk to the whole state. I heard a so moved, Nichelle, in case you didn't.
Okay.
Well, I'm assuming, Nichelle, that you will speak up if you don't here. So, you know, that's what my assumption is, so please do. Okay, thanks. Okay, so.
I'll second it.
All right. So it's been moved and seconded to, you know, I'm not real sure about Robert's rules on this, but I think we, that would be an amendment to accepting the minutes. Is that what it would be?
Well, you vote on the amendment, I think, and then you vote on the minutes,
I think. I think so, too. Okay. So, all in favor of the corrections being added, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, now we're ready to vote on accepting the minutes as corrected. So all in favor of that, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So I think we have dealt with all of the minutes that we needed to deal with.
Excuse me, Barbara. A couple more people to demand if you want introductions.
Okay, sure. Hopefully you won't feel put on the spot, but I would like for you to introduce yourselves.
Could you introduce yourself? Could you introduce yourself, sir?
Yeah.
Yes.
Leland LaRue of Hershey.
Okay, thank you. I didn't mean to put people on the spot, but we do like to know who we're speaking to and who's potentially speaking to us. So thank you for introducing yourselves. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the report from the chairman. And one of the things that that I want to mention right at the beginning is that to publicly commend Candy Larson for being Supervisor of the Year and Dottie Wilmot for being staff person. And, you know, we really do appreciate the time and effort that everyone puts in on the staff. And it would be wonderful if we could, you know, commend everybody every day. But I think there is something to be said for singling people out once in a while for what they do above and beyond and that kind of thing. And so, you know, we're really appreciative. And one of the things that I think is true is that a lot of people do go over and above to have certain things happen. And one of the things I think is a testament to that is that probably a lot of you are here because Candy and the staff out here see to it that you do get informed about things, and we really do appreciate that. We also know that the consumer organizations keep people informed, and we're glad of that too. But there is a lot of interaction that happens, and we're very grateful for that. I did write to both Candy and Dottie, and they did respond appreciating that we noticed. So that's really something that we appreciate. Also, I wanted to mention, I don't know whether everybody, I hope everybody on the board is on the NCBVI list to get notices of things. I got one the other day and I was so excited that I hit the wrong thing and unsubscribed myself accidentally. But I got back on and I probably shouldn't have even admitted that I did that. But it is nice to have some of those things start working. I know that Kelly and a lot of people have put a lot of time and effort into that kind of thing too. And so, you know, we're hoping that that we'll continue to get more information that way and make it possible for more people to have more access to what's going on. Also, I'm glad that Shane Burrish helped to have us get sometime, hopefully in the near future, a bus shelter by the headquarters building of the commission. A lot of us have stood out there in the heat of the day and one thing or another, and that will be nice. And also, ordinarily, both, you know, a lot of people would be, that train of thought, I think I will. As everybody knows, we're soon going to be having another legislative special session. And we're going to once again need to talk to legislators, let them know our unique situation, and we need to not give up on the fact that we, in spite of the fact that there are a lot of cuts going on, would be worse off than a lot of entities if one of those happens, because a lot of the money that the commission receives is matched by federal money, and we need to make sure that our legislators understand that. They're going to be under more pressure to cut more things, and they may say, well, you know, the last two or however many times, three, whatever number of times, this agency wasn't cut. What we need to remind them of is that that's true. It wasn't cut from what it has been, but the part of the problem is it has not, since it was part of a big monstrosity until not too long ago, it was not really bringing in its fair share of what it should have been. And so we're trying to make sure that they know that, and that they make things a little bit more equitable now as they cut other entities by not cutting this one. You know, I hope that makes sense. Please contact legislators and let them know that these programs are important to us. We are a small entity in the state, and yet we do need to be fully funded so that we can get the matched money that blind people deserve and that all Nebraskans deserve, because everybody is better off if blind people are served properly. So, you know, we really do need to, that session begins on the 30th of July, and we need to once again go to bat and try to make things happen. Also in June, Jerry Harris from the regional office in Kansas City was in Lincoln taking an official look at the transition programs and that kind of thing. And I did have an opportunity to meet with her and Pearl and Carlos and Bob were also in that meeting. And one of the things that we talked about was the information that comes from their office quite often still continues to come in print instead of in electronic form. And I did talk to her about that at that meeting, and after that I emailed her, and she responded saying that that was an oversight on their part and that they will work toward getting the information to us in electronic form, and if we continue to get other stuff, to let them know. So we're still working on getting things that way, but she was very personable and had good things to say about the transition program and also the other kinds of operations that are going on within the commission. And so it was good to meet with her, and I thank Pearl for setting that meeting up. And, you know, if everybody could have been there, we would have all been there. It just was a matter of that was the office that she happened to be in, and so that was why it was set up that way. I think probably most other things that I would need to be reporting or talking about will come up at some other point in the agenda. So, I think that is probably the end of the chairman's report.
I move to approve the chairman's report.
I'll second that. Okay. Is there any discussion of that? Anything that you want to?
Well, I'd like to bring out a point. I think Barbara should be recognized for all the work she does as chairman of the commission. We appear about four times a year, but she's working. And in the meantime, she puts out a lot of work on it. I think she should be commended for that. She's a hard worker.
That's right. Well, thank you. since we have a motion, I guess we will, we have to vote on it. And they're all in favor of accepting the report, I guess. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. The next item on the agenda is the report from the executive director, and I would, before turning it over to Pearl, I would, I just want to say that I think that with a lot of the difficult kinds of things that have been going on, we've had a lot of situations. You know, not only has Pearl lost her father recently and that kind of thing, and then with Jan, her staff assistant, having health problems and other people, other staff people in the commission have been having other kinds of personal situations happening, and Pearl's had some health situations herself with the virus and so forth, but she has continued to hang in there and get things done and keep going, and I really think that is commendable as well. So, and I'm hoping that this air running in here isn't going to make it worse for you to talk.
Thank you. Okay, well, thanks very much. I am having some trouble with allergies and asthma, and so it's worse when I talk, which unfortunately I'll be talking today, unfortunately, for the coughing anyway. So I will try to maintain, and hope you'll excuse me if I have to take a little cough break from time to time. But anyway, I do want to thank Sheila for pitch hitting for us today. Barbara did mention Jan Ludwig is having major surgery, so we will let people know how she does. Her surgery is Tuesday, but that's why she's not here today. First, I want to report about our rules that we were in process of promulgating for almost the past 2 years, practically. We did, as you may know, have the public hearing on those and on May 6th, and then within the next week or so, we had the materials finalized and put together to send to the Attorney General's office and Secretary of State. So those are now in those offices waiting for their approval, and then it goes to the governor. And they don't have timelines that they're required to meet. So we have not heard anything back except that they have them, and who knows when we will get those. But they're done. And I do want to publicly commend Jan Ludwig's work on those. It was a tremendous amount of work to get the, all the details of those done. Then I'll just mention on the monitoring review that the Rehab Services Administration, Jerry Harris was here, that Barbara mentioned. It was specifically about the transition program, and Ms. Harris indicated to us at the end that she was very impressed with our transition program. She had no idea how much we were doing and how well we were doing it. So she really gave great kudos to all of the state staff for their work. And it occurred to us, you know, when it worked out to have Barbara come in and meet with Ms. Harris, what we would like to try to do in the future is, at the very least, maybe set up a conference call so that board members could converse with the RSA representative that comes to the agency. So, you know, it wouldn't be in an official public meeting, but I think it was a good opportunity for the RSA rep to meet at least part of the board, Barbara, and I think if we can make it work, that would be great. So we'll try to do that. At any point, if you have questions on any of these issues, please do stop me. We have one grant application out right now. It is for a diabetic education project, and we're requesting some funds from the Health and Human Services Healthcare Cash Fund. And we'll know later this fall whether or not we get that. It's not a real big project, but it would give us some funds to do more education on diabetes, both to individuals who have diabetes as well as to medical providers who are very familiar with diabetes and so forth, but they don't know the blindness alternatives that are needed. You'll recall, I think it was at the March meeting, that we discussed the orientation center, and one of the ideas that came from that was to do a video production about the center that could be used in the field to, that counselors could show to consumers who were interested in the center, and also just who were trying to, maybe who are new to blindness and needed a little increasing of an understanding of what their capabilities are and what expectations they can have for themselves, rather than always having to come into Lincoln for a tour, to be able to see a videotape. So we talked about how we could possibly make that happen fiscally, is the main concern. And the one place we had some flexibility in our budget was the in-service training grant. And we decided that such a production would also be good for potential staff members, people who were considering applying to the agency for a job, and also for new employees as in-service staff training. And so we did get approval from the grant source to amend our grant to allow us to use those funds to do a video. So we are in fact already in communication. We checked some different production companies, and there's one called Taylor Productions in Lincoln who has done work for a number of nonprofit entities, and we've seen a couple of their videos. They do very good work. So we have a committee formed of Patosha Floyd, Shane Burrish, Jeff Altman, and Bob Deaton, and they'll be beginning their work in, well, it's kind of begun already, but the committee will meet as a whole in August. And Fatosh and I have met with Mr. Taylor. So that's pretty exciting. That's in the works. The Business Enterprise Program, the Blind Vendor Program, is, of course, an ongoing part of what we do. And in the recent state audit, which I'll talk about more in a little bit, one of the things that the auditors recommended, two things actually, related to the Blind Vendor Program. And one part of it was that the commission needed to have more accurate documentation from vendors about their monthly income or their monthly proceeds, and the vendors pay to the commission a certain amount of set aside from their profits. And so we are instituting a way to make it work so that we have a more systematic approach to getting that documentation. And we discussed that with the vendors at their committee meeting on June 14th. And then the other part of that audit was that the commission needed to review the annual set-aside. And the set-aside is that part that the vendors pay to the commission. They pay it for management fees, retirement accounts, and accounting services, and some repair and equipment kinds of things are the main purposes for that set aside. So at that June meeting, the Blind Vendor Committee did review the documentation from the past 2 years and did decide to leave the set aside at 12%, and they did vote in favor of that. And so from now on, I will report to the commission board following the Blind Vendors Committee approval of their set aside amount. I'll report to the board what it is for your information. And of course, if you have any questions or discussion. Okay, since I'm on the audit, let me talk about that a little bit more. We were audited, when was that, in March, I believe, early March. State auditors came in and spent, it was either 2 or 3 weeks of two people at our offices full time reviewing our books for the period the previous year. And for the most part, things were in good shape, especially considering we're really a brand new entity, and starting when we became a commission, we had to establish our own codes and get our business office in place. And so we really, in a sense, were starting from scratch. So they really, for the most part, said that, especially given that we had done quite well. There were a couple of concerns. One with the vendors program I just told you about. Another, which was a major issue, they questioned payment for activities that we do, like out here, a lot of folks have gone to fishing activities. In Lincoln at the center, we'll take the center clients to the water park or laser quest or horseback riding. Well, the state auditors look at that and they see entertainment. We look at it and we see training. And so we had, in fact, the previous 2 years prior, we had been audited and same concern was expressed. We had documented in the Rehab Act why these are appropriate expenditures of the rehab funding. And so 2 years ago, they basically left it that they would agree to disagree. This year, the issue came up again, and they really called us more to task about it. and said that we should stop doing that. So we, again, our first step was providing a response, quoting the law, quoting the regulations, talking about our philosophical and pragmatic approach so that they would understand, you know, we're not just rationalizing recreational activities for blind people. This really is training and confidence building. So anyway, they wanted more than that. And so we wrote to the regional office of RSA. That's always the first place we go when we need to get further consideration of something in the law. The regional commissioner, Dr. Doug Burley, did write a response to us and did support what we do and gave the law again. He basically said what I said, but it was his name saying it. So that was good. We sent that on to the auditor and also to the Office of Attorney General, because subsequently we had also received a letter from the Attorney General suggesting we make sure we handle our non-compliance issues. So we have not heard back from either the auditor or the Attorney General, but we're hopeful that that will put it to sleep. If they still have questions, we will go to the National Office of RSA. We have no problem doing that, but it'll be another step, so if we have to, we will.
My understanding with the auditors, I've dealt with them for 38 years, they get something like this and they hold on to that, and they beat it to death with it.
I know.
And
you're right. Yeah. So we will see, but we'll keep at it if we need to.
Pearl, do you have a dollar amount that's last year's budget went for these types of activities?
It's not really broken out in that way. And the specific ones that the auditors looked at were a very small amount. It was actually, they cited one event at the Laser Quest and one event at the water park. So very minimal dollars. And they said it's not the dollars we're worried about. It's the idea. You need, and state law prohibits spending state funds on recreation. And we say, we agree with that. State funds should not be spent on recreation, and we're not spending them on recreation. So, to give you an actual dollar amount, and especially statewide, I don't have that. Any other questions or comments on that?
Say there would be a worst case scenario and the state just won't give it up and just say no way, Jose, and that's, is there a way then that like friends of the commission or, you know, money from those kinds of sources could be used to do those same kind of activities?
I doubt that it would get to that level because I, you know, if we went to the national RSA, I think these guys would have to, don't they have to bend to the federal people?
Well, theoretically they're supposed to, but
federal people will kind of tell you, you know, federal override. State people will tell you state override. So I'm committed to keep arguing the point as long as we need to.
Well, I keep arguing, it'll eventually go away, they'll get off onto something else. I mean, in our office, we collected a lot of money for holy files, and then came to come to our office, and sometimes it happened. We couldn't recover judgment, so we just closed the file, and they looked at all those files, and they were account receivables to them. And every year they came in, these account receivables, when they're not account receivables, they're alleged claims by the state. And that went on for about 10 years, and finally just paid them. Never heard anything more about it, so have faith.
Yeah. But I'll go back to your point though, Bob. If there are, let's say there's an activity that we think really makes a lot of sense for people to do, and either there isn't funding for, you know, or it doesn't quite fit the scope of the normal work that we do, that would sure be something we could look for outside support for. It's not a bad idea, it's just that we don't want to give this up either.
Right.
Okay. I want to report a little bit about the center, and of course, when we talk about results in center training, that's results statewide, because for the most part, people start with the home teaching and the work in the field with some group events and group home teachings and other types of things with their counselors, and often it does. That training builds on and feeds into the excitement about going to the center and getting that training. So the reflection of success in center students is really a reflection statewide. And we've been tracking for the past 5.5 to 6 years. We've served 84 people in the center. Of those, 71.44% are now either competitively employed or successful as homemakers. And of that total, almost 60% are competitively employed. So that's really excellent results from our center training. Also, just under 12% are homemakers. And that is generally always the senior population, individuals who are now able to stay independent in their own homes because of the training. Also, 21% are still students. So that makes the percent competitively employed even better, because the students aren't looking for work yet. They're still in college or some kind of school. So only 7% are not working or otherwise engaged. We're proud of those results. We think it shows well for the staff throughout. pardon me. We have a technology fair coming up. It's going to be August 7th and 8th in Lincoln. And that will be in conjunction with our college prep workshop, which is August 8th and 9th, also in Lincoln. And I can give you more details if you want, but we're co-sponsoring that with Pat Fisher from the F1 Key Company. And we have a number of vendors and people who sell the technology coming in to demonstrate, and should be a good opportunity to learn about that. There's no cost for that. Let's see, a couple things about our calendar. We have a management retreat in August. And at that, we'll be doing some goal setting for the agency, as well as, of course, talking about the budget and a number of other kind of strategizing and management issues that we're generally too busy to sit down and really take a look at the big picture kinds of things. So that's what we'll be doing. The Home Teaching Plus program. Yeah, that's the 1 week training for older individuals. We'll be in North Platte in mid-September. We have a staff appreciation day September 20th. And so we like to remind people to let people know you appreciate them. Let's see. We've been thinking about training issues for the board members, and we'll be talking about that a little bit more, but any ideas people have, I always would welcome any thoughts you have. Also, at the May meeting, I think I reported preliminary reports of results of our report card, how we're doing on the standards and indicators. That's the governmental guideline of to track where we're where we are with the results that are expected with regard to employment of our clients, percent of employment outcomes, competitive employment, significant disability, the earnings ratios, whether they get benefits, self-support, and whether we're serving minorities adequately. And we passed all of our indicators. They only require passing 4 of the 6, and we passed all 6. So we're in very good shape there. And incidentally, the report on that is about an inch thick print, and it's tabled, so it would not scan at all well. But I'd be glad to give more specifics if you have questions. But it's another example of all of the wonderful print material we get from Washington. That doesn't work very well any other way. So.
Pearl, are there any statistics kept as to, I guess I was still surprised last time when Patosh mentioned that participants at the center, what a large percentage of them had other issues other than just blindness, as to either clients served in general by the agency or clients that go through the center, other than blindness, other handicaps or other kinds of...
Yes, we do track that. Now, I can't think right off the top. Do you know, Candy?
I don't know, but it's got to be a tremendously high percent. Rarely do I ever not have someone with another issue.
Right. I'll bet it's 80%. I would be glad to get the exact amount and send that to the board.
Because as I was going to say, that seems to be the trend. I mean,
yes.
From that blindness alone, it's becoming rare that it's generally accompanied. And that raises, well, you know, since it's so high now, I mean, it's nothing new, but I mean, as far as how the statistics, you know, I mean, 71% satisfactory completion is, you know, is good, but if you have multiple handicap situation, I mean, you know, that might be, you know, more phenomenally high.
Yeah.
That if there's any, you know, and I guess it's a slippery slope and you're making a lot of judgment calls as to, but it would stand to reason that people with multiple handicaps, you know, it's just going to be harder for them to be able to do things as opposed to somebody with just one handicap. And how any of that statistically is, you know, if the feds or anybody looking at, you know, outcomes, if, you know, how those things are being taken into account.
Right. Well, one of the indicators is not multiple disabilities, but significant disability. And you have to serve greater than 89% of people who have a significant disability. 100% of the people we serve are significant disability. But you're right, and it really, you know, the majority of the people that we work with have multiple disabilities. So, you know, we can definitely get those numbers. I know that on the 9/11, which is the report we send to Washington that has all the data on clients served, and they look at that every year in depth. It's very detailed. And so they do also look at secondary, what they call, you know, the secondary disabilities, those beyond blindness. It's not one of these primary indicators, but it is something that the feds look at. So, you know, and it, in a lot of cases, it is, in some states, a lot of states, I believe, just don't do as effective of a job with people who have other considerations. So we really are pleased and proud of the work that we do.
When they are categorized, are they like assigned a, you know, a disability degree? I mean, you know, 1 to 10, this person is a, I mean, how are they categorized?
Okay. Well, there's two ways to look at it. One is the disability that their primary disability, in a sense, that is categorized significant, or most significant and less so. In our rule, if you remember, there was one part that addressed order of selection.
Right.
And we kind of broke down, if you're forced to go in order of selection, you have to have a sequence by which you will accept cases.
Right.
And the most significant have to be first served, with the logic that less significant disabilities, perhaps they can get what they need through the workforce one stop, or you know, whatever they need, the rehab agency, less severely. But when you get to look beyond that, as far as multiple disabilities, it doesn't, I guess multiple disabilities would be included in that highest level, the first served. But beyond that, they don't really, there isn't any really reporting that you know, puts a 1 to 10 kind of a rating on it.
Earl, would you say a lot of the secondary disabilities are emotional problems?
That's a common one. Emotional or mental health issues, also substance abuse issues, physical disabilities, hearing loss combined with blindness, and diabetes, yes, other health issues like diabetes.
Sure. How do you deal with the ones who have mental health issues? Do you refer them out to a mental health center?
Yes, we will often combine the work that we're doing, both the counseling and the training, with some mental health counseling that would fit the, you know, what their specific issue is.
Now, you just rattled off several secondary disabilities. Is that, are those being, you know, tracked?
Yes.
So there is some place the statistics kept on what secondary disabilities exist.
Yes, and I'll send that report. And I think that would be a good thing to put on the website too, so that folks could go to the website and get that information.
Well, I just think that's so important. I mean, like I said, I mean, I was surprised to hear that it was that high, and if it surprised me, then it's got to surprise a lot of people, and especially legislators, and, you know, everybody that is, you know, how hard the job is, and, you know, the results we're getting, how tremendous, you know, that is.
Right. Definitely.
Do we work with specific mental health people, or do people just go to whoever? You know, my reason for raising the question is that sometimes if the mental health people that you're working with are not convinced themselves that blind people can do things or whatever, then you can actually end up getting into a bigger problem than you had to begin with. And I'm wondering, do we do anything like the training of those kinds of people, or working with specific ones that we know that they're going to be working in tandem with us rather than at odds?
Yes, yes, and yes. and actually, it's not just with the mental health professionals. This is true with chiropractors,
uh-huh,
and
yeah,
any other kind of physical, any of the other other professionals. We do everything we can to provide training. If we find a center that is particularly a center or a facility or a professional that is particularly excellent or particularly horrible, we do our best to use the good and either educate or stay away from the bad. We have, in Lincoln where the center is, there's actually some counseling and other health facilities on the other floors, and so that's rather convenient, and we've built good rapport with them, and that's been very good. At wherever there are diabetic education professionals, we provide training and for nursing students and other medical training programs, we do periodic work with them for training. And we also try to help the individual consumers learn how to be aware of those things. And when they're with a doctor or a nurse or a chiropractor who's trying to fix their blindness, or, you know, counseling them not to try so hard on things because, after all, they're blind, the individual in that session is the one that has to, you know, deal with that attitude, and so we try to help people learn how you deal with those things. There's a question.
Hi. Well, I'm a recent graduate of the Lincoln Center. I graduated in May, actually, of this year. And I only have hearing in the left ear, not the right ear. I have no sense of smell. So those are not real extreme significant disabilities, but they're in somewhat comparison to the blindness. And I think that the center did a wonderful job taking care of the hearing and smell problems both. I mean, they were very understanding of the situation, and they seemed to understand what different things that I was not able to do that some were. So I think that it was a wonderful experience and a good experience in general.
Excuse me, what was your name?
Joe LaRue.
Joe, I'd like to ask you a question because we had some comments on people going through the center. And someone such as yourself that had some hearing issues, you know, it's been commented on that there's, you know, a lot of distractions sometimes at the center, and especially kind of noisy, and people that have some hearing issues, you know, can find it especially bothersome. Were you able to work around that, or what was your impression on that?
I worked around it fairly well. The only thing that I never did quite get through to the general, the classmates and the instructors in general, the counselors, was the fact that, you know, they would say, they'd be talking to me, and I'd be looking the other way because I thought I was talking, because I thought they were over here, and they'd say, Joe, I'm clear over your left. And I'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I can't tell. That's the way I am. I can't tell where you're at exactly with the one hearing only on one side. You know, you can't tell. If you have hearing on both sides, you kind of delineate which side the people are located or the activity is. But if you've only got hearing on one side, you don't know exactly where you're at. So I think that was one of my biggest distractions, but I got through it relatively well.
Thank you for
your input. I would like to say that please, if you have something to say, please say something. I mean, in this case, Pearl happened to notice evidently you did a nonverbal. I don't catch those. So,
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
So please, you know, sing out if you want to give input.
Well, I've got a loud voice. I think I'll sing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. The other things I have to talk about are specifically listed in either old or new business, so that concludes my report.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
I'll move to accept it.
Second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept the executive director's report. Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Okay, we're ready for old business now. And one of the things that I continue to put on the agenda each time is the materials update, partly because I think it's important that we, for one thing, make public that we are receiving materials from the